This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We find ourselves in these very problematic situations, and we just don't seem to be able to find the solution. When the solution is so clear cut, my brothers and my sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is missing in our lives. And the way we will be able to really understand Allah is due to none other than learning His religion.
جمال الوجود بذكر الإله وتصفو الحياة بنور هدى جمال الوجود بذكر الإله وتصفو الحياة بنور هدى وتطلب نفس له طاعة
فؤاد شغوف إلى ربه أحب رضاه أحب لقاء يظل يجيء إلى ربوة قرار ويسمو وذا مرتغى فلا له يثنيه عن سيره ولا جمع مال تغى الشهوى إذا ما ينادي منادي الفلاح تراه لذاك يحث خطى تراه لذاك يحث خطى
جمال الوجود بذكر الإله وتصفى
إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما ويدعو الإنسان بالشر دعاءه بالخير وكان الإنسان عجولا وجعلنا الليل والنهار آيتين فمحونا آية الليل وجعلنا آية النهار مبصرة لتبتغوا فضلا من ربكم ولتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب وكل شيء فصلناه تفصيلا وكل إنسان ألزمناه طائره في عنقه ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقيه منشورا اقرأ كتابك كفي بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا من اهتدي فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. My beloved brothers and sisters, honestly from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say, may Allah bless every single one of you guys for taking the time out on a Friday afternoon. I know a lot of young people are doing on a Friday afternoon, Friday night, get high, go clubbing, enjoy yourself. Weed's legal here, right? I just came to know about that not so long ago. The youth are doing all sorts of things on a Friday afternoon, all the way up until the night. So for you to take some time out to sit here in front of this guy here to benefit, honestly, really, really does mean a lot, right? And the fact that you came here, it honestly shows that there is a goodness in your heart. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of you guys and honor you all. The second point I want to mention, I just want to thank the MSA for hosting this program. It's not easy to put these kind of programs together. So may Allah bless them and reward them for the excellence. So. Also, I want to thank Elm Institute. I thought you were trying to say me too as well. Make sure you thank us as well. When he was pointing out, yeah, these brothers, that's Uthman and that's Naveed. For those who don't know, Naveed's actually an expert on spoken word. Maybe we can get him to come up later and say a couple of words, you know? He's very, very shy. He is retired. He is retired, but we're going to bring him out of retirement. And the brothers who helped make this happen, may Allah bless them all. And also, before I start the lecture, I just want to point out the following. I think it's very, very important that we realize that, you know, to these programs, alhamdulillah, wherever I've gone, we've been getting some of the biggest drug dealers, trappers, rappers, right? And also some of our sisters who might go clubbing on a Friday night and then Saturday afternoon, they're sitting in the masjid. Yes, that happens, guys, right? Just because someone does a sin, that doesn't mean he should completely leave off doing good deeds altogether. Alhamdulillah, we've been getting that, right? And I know my brothers and my sisters are at different stages of their journey in acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please do bear that in mind, right? You may see at some of these events, people who don't necessarily fit the criteria with regards to their dress code when coming to these Islamic events that you are maybe accustomed to. Right? But like I said, there are different stages of their journey. Don't start staring down at a sister that is maybe dressed different to yours. Right? And you guys as well, when you see a brother who has a particular type of hairstyle, or is maybe wearing something, don't be the reason why they are pushed away, and it's the first and the last time that they're coming to these programs. Facilitate, make people feel comfortable. They only came to these programs in order to better their understanding of the deen. As I mentioned, it's Friday afternoon, Friday night, right? We know what happens on university campus. I don't think I need to spell that out, right? Tickets go for maybe, what, $5, $10 to go and party all night? Or is it more than that? No, in the UK it's like £5, right? Which is $10. Ala kulli hal, my brothers and my sisters, please bear that in mind. We don't want to be the reason why we push people away or we make them feel extremely uncomfortable. Be facilitating, be someone who, right, makes them feel good. My topic today, my brothers and my sisters, and we don't have a lot of time because I have another program in Al-Rashid Masjid, and I hope to see all of you guys as well. I want to speak about 5 Quranic verses that will help us maneuver and navigate around modern day ideologies and doubts that are thrown away. Being in a university environment, I know, been there myself, my brothers and my sisters. I did civil engineering at university, right? I know exactly what takes place on university campus. You have people who learn the religion of Islam, not so he can become guided, but so he could target vulnerable Muslims who are on the edge of their religion. Yes, they are roaming around university campus, targeting Muslims who are uneducated, right? Bombarding them with distorted information, and they only have one goal, and that is to strip you off your faith. I've seen it, I've debated them, had discourse, right? It's something that is there, and I'm sure you guys are aware of this as well, my brothers and my sisters. Before I mention these five Quranic verses, my brothers and my sisters, that will help us maneuver and navigate around modern day ideologies and doubts, I want to mention the following, and I touched on it yesterday as well at the event. The devil has taken an oath to distort two things, or to alter and change two things. Does anyone know what these two things are? If you came to the program yesterday, don't put your hand up. What are the two things that the devil has set out to fulfill in his mission? Does anyone know? To misguide humanity. Good. Anything else? Changing the outer appearance of a human being. Allah, the Almighty, tells us in the Quran. But before, I forgot something, guys. I forgot to mention the disclaimer right at the beginning of the lecture. Just want to make something very, very clear, guys. I, Abu Taymiyyah, don't have my own views and opinions. Right? Abu Taymiyyah, don't have any views and opinions. Whatever I say to you, it will be directly extrapolated from the scripture. I just want to make that very, very clear, just in case we have CNN or Fox News in the crowd, who are ready to take out of proportion what I'm going to be delivering today in this program. Right? I have no views and no opinions. I am not here to incite violence towards any minority group. Let's make that very, very clear. Disagreeing with an ideology or a sentiment or a certain type of concept, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a bigot. Freedom of speech, sahih. Liberal values, Statue of Liberty that you find in New York, sahih. Where everyone is free to exercise their right to freely express themselves. And even then, I'm not going to be telling you anything that I think. I will be just quoting the scripture and not inciting violence or hatred towards any human being. Right? Are we clear on that? Whether it may be anyone from a different religion, whether it may be the rainbow team, right? Or anyone else. I have no... Make that very clear, right? We don't want anyone walking away upset. This guy came to propagate hatred. No, I'm not. I'm a peaceful guy. I propagate peace and compassion, as you guys may have witnessed yesterday at our gathering. Do you guys remember? Sahih? It was peaceful, right? Did I say anything wrong? Jazakallah khair. The shaitan, the devil, my brothers and my sisters, they came to alter and distort two things. Right? Allah tells us in the Quran, quoting the devil, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ. I'm going to make sure that I mislead them. I'm going to make sure that I lead them astray. I am going to enforce upon them now to start putting holes in the ears of cattle. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. They will change the creation of God. They will change the creation of God. This was mentioned in the Holy Quran over 1400 years ago. Right? فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And then God tells us, وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Whoever takes the shaytan as a wali, as an alliance, as a friend, then this person has gone far, far astray. He's at a very serious loss, we are being told. This issue of al-wala, what you end up believing, is a matter of the heart. So two things, guys, that he wants to alter: your outer appearance And then also what? Your belief. Does that make sense? Even when you look at the verse, ثُمَّ لَأَتِيَنَّهُ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ عَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. Allah quotes the devil in another place in the Quran, how he is going to attack the children of Adam, human beings, from the front, from the right, from the back, from the left. From the front, Ibn Abbas, he said, أُشَكِّكُهُمْ فِي آخِرَتِهِمْ. I'm going to give them doubts about the hereafter. Right? وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ. From the right, أُشَبِّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَمْرَ دِينِهِمْ. They will have doubts about their religion with my tricks that I have up my sleeve. Are you guys with me? This is the plot of the devil. He wants to ensure that you shoot out of the religion. يَقُولُ لَكَ أُكْفُرُ. As Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, gets you to disbelieve. And then khalas, when you've left the religion of Islam, he will be at peace. Ibn al-Qayyim, he talks about six tricks that he has up his sleeve to misguide you. The first one is major kufr and shirk. And then it's what? Innovation. And then thirdly, major sins, then minor sins. And then busying you with that which is less beneficial. And then number six, if he can't go directly to you, he comes through your family, he comes through your relatives, he comes through your loved ones to trick and trap you and to cause you to go astray. That's the shaitan in a nutshell, trying his utmost best to distort these two things, your outer appearance and then also what? Your belief. You may ask, what is the connection between the two? When you alter your outer appearance, and I'm not just speaking about eye job, nose job, forehead job, eyebrow, whatever, and there's a lot of altering that takes place today with one's outer appearance, ah? And by the way, this verse was mentioned in which surah? Surah Nisa, the chapter of women. And this didn't happen by accident. If we're going to be very honest, guys, let's be very honest. Who tends to change their outer appearance more? Is it men or women? Are you guys going to call me misogynistic for saying this? Huh? Let's be honest, sisters. Ear job, eye job, nose job. Huh? There's a lot of things that are being changed. So Allah is mentioning this in Surah An-Nisa to specifically notify and alert the woman. Does that mean that they are the only ones that are being spoken to? No. You've got men doing all sorts of things now. Sahih? Am I wrong to say this? Aren't they now changing, adding and... No further comment on that. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. Especially now when the world has become extremely colorful. Right? Things are being taken off. Things are being added on. It's happening with men. Point of the matter is, when you change your outer appearance, whether it may be you dressing a certain way, or whether you look a certain way, you begin to feel a sense of belonging towards a certain group. And then you're just one step away with believing whatever they believe, because now you fit in. Does that make sense? We are told in the Quran, my brothers and my sisters, and you can clearly see how what I'm about to say, or the group of people that I'm about to make mention of, they are carrying out the work of the devil. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ يَشْتَرُونَ الضَّلَالَةِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن تَضِلُّ السَّبِيلِ. Allah tells us, haven't you seen the people of the book who buy misguidance? They spend with their money now to buy misguidance, and they want you to go far astray. How much do you think it costs to make the world so colorful, guys? The paintings and the flags and the... We just came out of a certain type of month. All of the security, all of that which was invested into making this happen. Sahih? Allah is telling us here about the people of the book, let alone anyone else. My brothers and my sisters, right? Normative Islam is under attack. We are under attack whether you realize it or not. I've just now, you know, shone some light on it, of how we are being targeted from different directions. Right? And all of this is not just so we can all live peacefully. That's not the objective of why they are doing these things. Islam, different story. Everyone else, as you guys are aware, You say you're certain something, they call you anti this. You say you're certain something, they say you're a bigot. You say this, you're misogynistic. But when it comes to Islam, when it comes to our religion, oh, freedom of speech. Alaysa kadhalik, isn't it so? So how can you try and tell me that this is in the best interest of every human being? It's clearly an agenda. My brothers, my sisters, five Quranic verses, inshallah ta'ala, that we want to stand over, and I'm hoping that you guys take this away. That will help us navigate around these doubts and these different ideologies that we come across. The first verse, my brothers and my sisters, and I'm hoping you guys write this down. This is a class. Yesterday was more like a lecture. It's a very important class that you will look back on, that will help you, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So if you have a pen and paper, please do take it out. And if you don't, then, you know, there's a line of poetry, guys, where the poet said, لَابُدَّ لِطَالِبِ مِنْ كُنَاشٍ يَكْتُبُ فِي رَاكِبٍ وَمَاشٍ. It's a must that a student, he carries with him scrap paper. He writes when he rides, and he writes when he walks. And because, of course, we're in the 21st century, I had to change that up a little bit. Gen Z, millennials, right? I changed it up to, instead of saying kunashin, I said, لَابُدَّ لِطَالِبِ مِنْ عَيْبَادٍ. Freshy way of saying iPad in the Arabic language, right? It's important that a student, he carries with him what? An iPad, right? Or an iPhone or whatever you use now to note it down. يَكْتُبُ فِيهِ رَاكِبًا أَوْ مَاشٍ. Does that make sense? I have this iPhone. Say mashallah. Before it drops. Huh? It was a gift from someone. It was a gift. Some of the notes that I use in my lectures was maybe that which I noted down 10 years ago. All in thanks to Allah. And then secondly, Steve Jobs, who invented iCloud. You lose your phone, everything is still saved. This notes has done my life so much good. You know the notes app? I only speak on behalf of Apple, guys. If you're Galaxy, Allah help you. Right? I don't know what you guys have on your phone, but I'm talking specifically about the Apple. Point of the matter is, the first verse, my brothers and my sisters, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Indeed, the accepted religion in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than al-Islam. Allah told us this in the Quran. Right? The only accepted religion by Allah is none other than Islam. This was sent down as a verse in the Quran over 1400 years ago. You may say to me now, what makes al-Islam the right religion or the accepted religion? Why can't the truth be elsewhere? First and foremost, my brothers and my sisters, as Muslims, we believe in the Bible, right? That hasn't been distorted. We believe in the Torah, right? That was sent down upon Musa. And the Injil that was sent down upon Jesus, right? And that the Quran came after both of these scriptures as a form of completion to seal the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down. Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. Right? We believe in that. What makes this one more distinct than the other? You know, my brothers and my sisters, yesterday asked me a question and I quoted some verses. Allah the Almighty, in his Quran, he put forth a challenge to mankind, and more specifically the Arabs, who were the most eloquent of people on the face of this earth when it came to the Arabic language. And the Quran is being sent down in the Arabic language. Does that make sense? Allah put forth the challenge. قُلْ say to them, O Muhammad, لَئِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنِّ. If both the jinn kind and mankind came together to produce a Quran like this, they wouldn't be able to do so. That challenge still stands. But then the challenge was made simpler. Of course, you're not going to be able to produce a Quran like this. And no one has been able to do this. It's been 1400 years. Have you guys come across anything like the Quran that has been produced? Abadan, the challenge still stands. But it was made simpler because of how weak the Arabs were. Second verse, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ وَدْعُوا مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ لَيْنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Say to them, O Muhammad, just produce 10 chapters. And let them bring forth whoever they want. 10 chapters, let them produce that. The smallest chapters in the Quran, let's start from Nas, Surah Nas, Falaq, Ahad, Al-Ikhlas, right? Tabbat yada, idha jaa nasrullah, qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, then, in a'tainaka al-kawthar, ara'aita alladhi li ilaha fi quraish, then, alam tara. Right? 10, just produce 10, and they still weren't able to do so. And then it was made even more simpler. Allah said, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ. Just bring forth what? One chapter. The smallest chapter in the Quran is which? إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَأْنَكَ وَرَبِّكَ. Three. Right? Verses. Smallest chapter in the Quran. My brothers and my sisters. They weren't able to produce that. And when we talk about this, my brothers and my sisters, right? We are speaking about producing a Quran similar in wording and likewise meaning, right? Flow and style. Another is the content that which you find inside of this Quran. When you look at the observational proofs, the historical proofs, all of this, my brothers and my sisters, didn't just come out of nowhere. When you look at the formation of the embryo, the Quran mentions in detail the formation of the embryo. Something that can only be known, my brothers and my sisters, right? Or it cannot be seen except with an electronic microscope. How can a man who was in the middle of a desert over 1400 years ago make all of these claims and it turned out to be exactly how he said? He didn't have science. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was illiterate. Couldn't read or write. And then he's saying all of this, my brothers and my sisters. Alongside all of the prophecies of that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a claim of, that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. One of them, and I quote my brothers and my sisters, like I said, Abu Taymiyyah doesn't have his own views, right, and opinions. One of the things that he mentioned over 1400 years ago was, Salawatu Rabbi wa Salamu alayhi, that which I fear the most for you, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي عَمَلُ قَوْمِ لُوتٍ, is the practices of the people of Lut. Lot, that which we see extremely colorful today. Over 1400 years ago, he said this to his companions. Also from the prophecies, my brothers and my sisters, is when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَن تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ الرِّعَاءَ أَوْ رِعَاتَ الشَّاءَ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. You're going to find barefooted Bedouins, right? Doing what? Competing in structuring, right? Or constructing tall buildings. Was anyone alive in this room over 60, 70 years ago? How was the Emirates at the time? Huh? It was a desert. Then they discovered oil, petrol, right? And then they started erecting these tall buildings. How can a man in the middle of a desert say that this is from the science of the hour? Did you guys recently see those pictures that were going around of how the Arabian desert became so green? Do you guys remember? Huh? Do you guys remember? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the hour will not arrive till that actually happens over 1400 years ago. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also talked about how at the end of time you will find, and again, this is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right? كاسيات عاريات. You will find females walking around clothed and naked at the same time. Clothed and naked at the same time, meaning it will be so transparent. It will expose their figures so clearly because of how tight it is, right? And again, guys, do we not see this? He said this over 1400 years ago, right? And the examples, my brothers and my sisters, are in fact many. The widespread of riba, usury, interest. He told us that this is going to be what? Very prevalent. We were also told in a hadith that I mentioned yesterday, من أشراط الساعة يقل العلم. From the signs of the hours that knowledge becomes less. Ignorance becomes so widespread, right? Zina likewise. A zina. You guys know what zina is? Fornication. Right? To the point, I've been told, that the mother or the father knows that his daughter is in a relationship, but they turn a blind eye. Right? Turn a blind eye. Ahad is becoming normalized. It's been popularized. That if you don't actually have a relationship, there's maybe something wrong with you. This is how we grew up in schools. They would dare one another, and if one said no, they would think that this guy is maybe what? Dysfunctional. Huh? Are you brothers and sisters with me? All of these, what are prophecies? And to conclude this point, my brothers and my sisters, you have this Quran that has been memorized by how many people? Does anyone know? By the way, how many pages does the Quran consist of? 600 pages. How many people have memorized it? Huh? 400 million? 40 million. Anyone else? 200 million. Any Huffaz here? Anyone here that's memorized the Quran fully? Come on, Edmonton. One. How many? Two, three.
They're too shy.
They're just being humble. Our sisters especially, they're being very humble. Allahum barik. Right? Point of the matter is, 600 pages of the Quran that has been memorized. And many people who memorize the Quran, they don't understand the Quran. Sahih? Imagine now you have 600 pages of Japanese. 600 pages written in Russian. 600 pages written in Chinese. Right? Anyone here attempting to memorize a book written in these languages would be considered amazing, let alone accomplishing it. Have you heard of any book like that that's been memorized? I remember years ago, I came across a BBC article and they were making a big deal out of it. Now someone just memorized, I think it was 120 pages of what? The Gospel. Big deal, BBC, oh wow. They were all these Muslims. Millions on millions. It has been preserved as Allah mentioned, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra. We are going to preserve the Quran, Allah said. We sent it down and we will preserve it. Every letter, every haraka has been what? Preserved. Did you guys see that viral video of a Somali sheikh who was leading the salah right at the end of Surah Taha? And then he said, فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Guys remember? Viral video. Who's standing behind him? Maybe a 7-year-old. And then he corrects this imam who what normally never makes a mistake. Pay attention, guys. فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ, right? He said. The child corrects him. فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ. Something as small as that. Did the sheikh get angry? How is the little kid correcting me? Well, this is the Quran that's been preserved. And then as he continues, he smiles and then continues. Video went viral. I used that as an opportunity. Now, to show my brothers and my sisters that this Quran has so beautifully been preserved. Even by what? The haraka. You know the fatha and the kasra and the dhamma? All of that has been preserved. One will come from the other side of the world. And then they start reading Quran to one another. And they vibe. Right? What do you guys say? Chill out. What do you guys say? Hang out. That's what you guys say. They hang out. Right? With the Quran. And it's exactly how it's been memorized. By the other. Does that make sense, my brothers and my sisters? The Quran has been preserved. So what's the difference now between this Quran and the Bible that we have today and any other book, my brothers and my sisters? Up until this very day, they struggled to confirm, right? As to whether this has a chain of narration going back to the author of it. Every conversation that I have, they are not able to prove that this has been preserved or that it hasn't been changed. As for the Quran, my brothers and my sisters, we do not accept whether it's a Quran or a statement of the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, right? Without examining it critically. Every reporter, every individual in that chain of narration, he's examined critically. There's a whole science. which deals with the chains of narration. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامَ. My brothers and my sisters, even now we're not giving it justice. The only accepted religion by Allah is none other than Islam. And these are just some points to point out how the Quran has been preserved, my brothers and my sisters. So what's the first verse, guys? إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The second verse, my brothers and my sisters, when it comes to dealing with modern day doubts, that you as a Muslim, who might not necessarily be learned with regards to your deen, that you can hold on to inshallah ta'ala, is when Allah said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرٌ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. Allah says, it is He who sent down verses that are clear-cut in its meaning, clear and apparent. هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. And there are other verses that perhaps may be vague and unclear. People of deviance, what do they do, my brothers and my sisters? They grab onto those vague verses and they have a field day with it. Right? They have a field day with it. You as a Muslim have mabadi, you have a foundation, things that you know about your religion. And then this guy just comes out of nowhere, he goes, but your Quran says this. Right? And that's simply because it's taken out of context due to maybe some vagueness that has what appeared to him. Or is it vacuity? Is that more correct? Vacuity, or is it vagueness? Who's good at English here? Am I making up words on the spot? Huh? Vagueness, alhamdulillah. That's someone who knows English here. Right? Shahid ibn al-Kalam, because of the vagueness in that verse. Just because you don't have the answer or the explanation, my brothers and my sisters, that doesn't mean there is an explanation. I hope you guys write this down. Just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. I'll say that again for the third time. Just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. There are people that are more knowledgeable than you, that you can take it to, and will have the answers to the questions that you have. Don't just jump ship. Right? I'm going to point someone out of the crowd. That brother is wearing blue shirt. Yes. What are you studying at university? Engineering. So we click. Huh? Civil or mechanical? Or chemical? Don't do anything crazy. Huh? Go on.
General.
General?
Yeah, first year.
Okay. Third year, second year? First year, right? If I ask you some questions, right, are you going to have the answers for everything about your field?
No.
Your first year, right? Even if you are third year, even after graduating, there might be certain answers that you don't have to the questions that I posed to you, right? Now that you're in first year, if someone asks you some questions and you didn't have the answers to it, would you think about leaving your course?
No.
Why not? Come on. Sorry if I just stuck it on you. I apologize. Can you see how ludicrous that is? Why would somebody now just jump out of his course because he didn't have the answers to some questions that he was asked? I have a cousin who's a doctor. I ask him sometimes some questions, he doesn't have the answer. Should he just turn around and say, you know what, I'm going to now revoke my medical license because Abu Taymiyyah asked me some medical questions which I didn't have an answer to, so now let me call it a day on my career. Does that make sense, guys? Would anyone in their right mind do that? You as a Muslim, right? First and foremost, you haven't gone out to educate yourself. Type no problem. Inshallah, you're going to do so, right? But now someone is posing some of these questions and you don't have the answer to it. Why would you then even think about, oh, you know what? Maybe the answer is elsewhere. Does that make sense? It's very, very important. So what do we do? There are two ways to respond to these people who try to grab on to some of these verses that might have a lack of clarity to it. There is a general answer, which is, listen, I have my foundations and my principles, right? That's what I'm going to hold on to. This is what I've been told. This is what the Quran says. As for this specific, right, this specific detail, I don't know. I'm going to refer to those who are more knowledgeable than me. Then the one who's more knowledgeable comes and he gives the elaborated answer, right? Completely deconstructing this doubt that he has presented. Does that make sense? This is a second important verse. You have the clear verses and you have some verses that are vague. There are answers to it, but you don't have the answers, and just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. Number three, my brothers and my sisters. Don't worry, guys, I'm coming on to feminism and liberalism. I'm coming on to it. By the way, if there's anyone here that ascribes to any of these ideologies, there's no issues, inshallah. Yeah? We'll talk. Me and the feminists have become the best of friends on Twitter. Right? Been having a great time on there. Number three, third verse. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَلَا تَقْعُدَ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ Allah says, if you see those who engage in false discussions about our verses, and the other verse says, mocking the verses, and you begin to hear this, turn away from them. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ Up until that conversation is changed. Right? Up until they change the conversation. If the shaitan makes you forget, don't sit with them after remembering. The other verse says, إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلُهُمْ Otherwise you will become like them. And I think that's common sense. مَنْ جَالَسَ جَالَسَ When you hang around with a certain type of individual, with a certain type of mindset, it begins to what? Filter through to your beliefs. Am I wrong to say that? As we without a shadow of a doubt, what happens? The people that you hang around with, they will end up what? Affecting you. And we know the hadith of the blacksmith and the goldsmith. إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ جَلِيسُ الصَّالِحُ وَجَلِيسُ السُّوءُ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلُ The Messenger said, you are upon the religion of your friend. Be extra careful and examine who your friends are. Right? This is very, very important, my brothers and my sisters. This is why, have you guys heard of Speaker's Corner? We are the problem. Huh? Speaker's Corner. Do you guys know what that is? It's in the UK. That corner where everyone goes now to debate. Why are you guys acting like? You guys not seen it? You guys heard of Ali Dawa? Huh? And some of the other brothers? By the way, I'm not saying everyone that's there debating, right, is doing a bad job or shouldn't be there or whatever. But the point of the matter is, the worst place to be starting your journey in Islamic knowledge is by switching on Speaker's Corner to watch these debates that are taking place. You have absolutely no foundation. And then the first thing that you open up to is what? Doubts that will end up penetrating your heart. I went through, guys, 27 universities when I was in the UK. Right? 27 universities. Up and down the country within the space of 2 months. Right? Secular universities, by the way, guys. Secular universities. Some of these blue-haired feminists, they tried to shut down my programs, but they flopped. Huh? And the Skittles team as well, they tried their utmost best. But again, they failed miserably. And here I am, alhamdulillah, going from place to place. Up until now, not a single video of mine has been taken down on YouTube. Because I'm a compassionate imam. Right? I spread peace. And that's because we put those disclaimers at the beginning, guys. Disclaimers are very important. Like we did at the beginning. Learn, guys. Like I learned from the solicitors and the lawyers. We used to speak for a whole year before I started being very vocal. Point of the matter is, when you sit with people who are falsely engaging in some of these discussions about the Quran, you don't have the answers, it's bound to affect you, my brothers and my sisters. And let me tell you guys something else. If you hear a doubt, don't just start relating it to the people around you. Right? Don't just start speaking about it to the people in front of you. This is what Sufyan al-Thawri would say, من سمع ببدعه فلا يحكيها لجلسائه. If you hear like an innovated practice or something that is a distortion of the deen, don't start telling everyone around you. Right? لا يلقيها في قلوبهم. Let him not pout this at the people's hearts. Why? Because the hearts are weak. Imam al-Dhahabi commented, he goes, أكثر أئمة السلف على هذا. The majority of the righteous scholars of the past, they take this position that you don't do this because doubts are dangerous and the hearts are weak. Does that make sense, my brothers and my sisters? Not everyone that has knowledge, my brothers and my sisters, is fit to debate. I'll say that again. Not everyone that has knowledge is fit to debate. You might have knowledge, but you lack the debate tactics. You don't have that. What's my evidence for it? The Messenger of Allah, when he sent Mu'adh to Yemen, he said, you're going to come to the people of the book. إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. He's telling him about who he's going to. You might have knowledge, but then you go into a debate because he's so slick in the way he words and the way he moves and the way he, right? He'll end up overpowering you and you will look like the dumb one in that debate, brothers and sisters. Number four, my brothers and my sisters, by the way, can quickly someone tell me, I got time, right? Naveed, you'll have time for your spoken word. Who can give me the three verses now? Huh? What was the first verse? Huh? Huh? No. The three Quranic verses. That was an introduction. Then I mentioned three verses. Ahsan, the accepted deen, religion with Allah, is none other than Islam. Number two, someone else. Huh? Ahsan, are you Somali? Huh? MashaAllah, the Somalis, they memorize the Quran. It happens a lot with them. This is not favoritism or... I think everyone knows that. Huh? Tfadal ya'am. Ahsant. Sheikh Anta min al-Maghrib. Moroccan, right? They're big shots as well when it comes to the Quran. You have to give credit where it's due. Sheikh, that comes under the first one. وَمَنْ يَبْتَ غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. طيب, number three, what was it? Huh? وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينِ يَخُوْنَا. That's another Somali brother, right? Ethiopian, sorry. They're neighbors. Are you guys with me? If you see those falsely engaging in the verses, then don't stay with them. When I was doing these university tours, my brothers and my sisters, I came across a brother, bearded. He looks very Islamic. Think, mashallah, he's probably even a student of knowledge. He came up to me, took me to the side, and he said, Akhi, please, I need your help. I was like, what's the issue? I thought he was going to ask for some money, right? He said to me, I have doubts about my religion. I was shocked. Because he didn't look like that. And I said to him, how did you get these doubts? He goes, by watching Speaker's Corner. Because I wanted Islamic knowledge, so I started watching debates. You don't have a foundation yourself, and now you're what? Exposing your heart to these doubts and debates. Right? Because there's going to be arguments on both sides. Yes, the Muslim guy might be a strong debater, but still, a doubt gets thrown, gets pelted, he doesn't give a convincing answer, ends up destroying you. Number four, my brothers and my sisters, Allah says in the Quran, هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring forth the proofs if you are really truthful. Bring forth the proofs if you are truthful. Not everyone that makes a claim, my brothers and my sisters, should you believe. Sometimes what happens is because you're so passionate about defending your religion, someone says something about Al-Islam, and then you just, with whatever you know, you try to defend it. When in reality, that which he's saying is not even true. Someone comes along and says, oh, Islam is oppressive.
because it doesn't give women 50-50. And then you start debating and you start discussing and you're, akhi, half an hour you're there debating with this guy. First and foremost, prove to me that this is actually what oppressive. You made the claim, bring forth where it's actually oppressive in the Quran. Islam, in fact, at times gives more rights to women than men. But Allah of us, because we don't know that, we hear some of these sentiments that are being thrown around and we end up what? Embracing it straight away. This is why when I deliver lectures, by the way, in the UK, I deliver lectures on feminism and the status of a woman in an Islam. Every lecture that I delivered, not a single woman came up to me and said, I don't agree with what you said. And that is because, I'll tell you why, right? Right at the beginning, I speak about the status of women, all of her rights, that leaves our sisters flabbergasted. Because they didn't know that a woman is entitled to all of this. Even when it comes to the inheritance, this is the biggest problem that many feminists have. And they find maybe the law of God a bit problematic. They come across one verse, they ذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that it's a portion of or a ratio of 2-1 when it comes to inheritance distribution between brothers and sisters. Ah, oppressive. Why is it giving more to the guy, not the woman? There are four different scenarios. There is a case when women take more than the man, and sometimes equal, different scenarios. Ah, al-an. Al-an hasas al-haq. And then how al-Islam, my brothers and my sisters, make sure that a woman is treated like a queen. Right? We've got some guys here, the moment they go to the, what do we call it? Marriage sit down. He's negotiating with her how everything needs to be 50-50. That guy's got problems. Right? You sisters should not be entertaining this at all. Even if you're a multi-billionaire. Islam still states that he should look after her. If she wants to help out, then great. But is it enforced upon her? Abadan. Does that make sense, guys? And how al-Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, time and time again instructed the man to be kind to his what? To his female folk, to his wife. And sometimes some of the causes of feminism is because a sister runs into a guy who's oppressive. And then he might even use al-Islam to justify his actions. Yes, sisters, I'm with you. He tries to use al-Islam to justify his actions. Islam said this. And she's thinking, if that's Islam, you know what? Forget it. I'll go to my girlies. Right? I'll go to them. And my brothers and my sisters, who even said that 50-50 is actually justice? Who said that? Or that this is the right way? You've been made to believe that. They've sold you this narrative that you must look through the lens of equal rights. And only that is fair. So then, with everything that you come across of the Quran, you're trying to look through these lens. Let me ask you guys a question. Would any of you guys send your wives or your sisters to go and work in the sewage?
No.
Huh?
No.
Why not? 50-50? Equal rights? You guys have these oil places here in Edmonton. What is it called? Is there women working there? Huh? I don't know the detail of that, but let me ask you guys another question, right? Let me ask you guys a question. Would you send your wives to go mining? Mining. Is there women working in the mining industry? Yeah? Are they really women though? I'm just asking, I don't know. I'm new to Canada, guys, I don't know what's going on here. Would you guys send your wife now to start constructing or erecting buildings under the scorching heat? Is there women that do that? Yeah. Hey, brothers and sisters, would you feel comfortable doing that? It's just Allah created both men and women differently. Right? I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. And I'm sure a lot of you guys wouldn't as well. And I'm sure a lot of you sisters would tell the guy, no, you go do it. I'll go and look for a different type of job. A 50-50. Right? Have you guys heard of the war that's taking place in Ukraine? You guys heard of it? Has it reached Canada, Edmonton? Huh? But what happened to 50-50 though? Where are the women at? Why don't you put them on the front line? Huh? Why don't you guys put them on the front line, guys? I don't hear any of the feminists coming out and making a case out of this. Where's the 50-50 at?
Anyways, the point I was trying to make is, by the way, I still haven't gone into the issue of feminism. I'm not there yet. This is just, we're getting there. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. You save yourself maybe what, 2 hours of debate. You're defending an Islam. Bro, that which he's saying is not even true. Let him prove to me that what he's saying about Islam is actually true. What does it say in the Quran? And then he'll find himself dumbfounded. Right? Number five, my brothers and my sisters, number five. Allah says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not reflect on the Quran? Do they not reflect and ponder upon the Quran? Right? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ. If it came from anyone other than Allah, you would always find contradictions. You know, my brothers and my sisters, a friend of mine one time told me that he was on a flight to one of these Gulf countries. And right beside him was a brother who had Richard Dawkins' book. And alongside his book, he had a big, fat dictionary. Trying his utmost best to understand what Richard Dawkins is trying to say. You guys heard of Richard Dawkins, right? Yeah. Alhamdulillah, if you don't know him. Yeah, it's good. Because he's got a lot of contradictions in his... I've got it written down somewhere. But I didn't save it on my phone. He turns around to his brother. He says to him, how come you're reading this book? He says, you know, the truth might be elsewhere. It's a Khariji guy going to the Arab world. And we know that the default religion there is what? Islam. He then turns to him and he says, have you ever read the Quran? He goes, yeah, I've read it, but Tayyip, have you understood it? He goes, I've never tried to understand it. You never even tried to understand the Quran, and you're trying your utmost best now to understand this Richard Dawkins, right? A non-believer who has completely disconnected himself from religion. Because why don't you actually try to understand the Quran? Pin drop silence. Pin drop silence. Right? The Quran, my brothers and my sisters, has the answer and the solutions to all of our problems. Right? I speak to atheists every now and again. I speak to Mark. And one of the questions that I always tend to ask them is, what do you see as morally acceptable? Right? Mark will give me certain things that he sees to be morally acceptable. Then I go to Suzanne and she says that Mark is wrong. That's not morally acceptable. Right? Let me ask you guys a question. Have you guys heard of something called... I always forget this word. You know when you eat people, what is it called? Cannibalism, that's it. Let me ask you guys a question. Is it morally acceptable now to eat people? Did you know that there are certain places around the world where it's perfectly fine? To eat people is actually morally acceptable. Wallahi al-azim, my brothers and my sisters, it is morally acceptable to eat another human being. No. I hope that sister's all right. Relax, relax, please. Calm down, guys. Let me ask you guys another question. I think you guys will like this one. Is it okay, and remember, what day is it today? No, the date. Huh? 7th, did you say? Is it 7th? 7th of July, you were sitting in this lecture room called CSIS. which is, I heard, also the intelligence of Canada, right? You're sitting in his lecture room called CSIS building. صح? And we had this discussion, remember, 10 years down the line, this discussion we were having. Let me ask you guys a question. Is it okay for one to have a relationship with a sister? Morally acceptable or unacceptable? But love is love, guys. Huh? Love is love. Is it okay for one to have a relationship with his mother? But love is love, brothers and sisters. Just like water is water, then go to the toilet and get the water, right? Sahih? Isn't this the argument that we hear today about, you guys know what? Love is love. Let everyone do as they wish. Even though once upon a time it was morally unacceptable, it was shunned. Why is there an issue with it? The argument still stands. He wants to have a relationship with his sister. The same argument that we hear with that which is extremely colorful is also present here. Why are you depriving him of love? Leave him alone. Live and let be. Everyone has their freedom. Sah? Isn't this what liberalism is? Let everyone do as they wish. But when it comes to this, no. Give it a couple of years. And you see how this is now legalized. Likewise, you have weed, cannabis. As we're driving, being driven around by Am Khalid, I see these shops that has cannabis. It still hasn't registered with me that there is a shop which serves you cannabis. That's unheard of in the UK. Once upon a time, just about in every single American state, it was illegal, but as time went on, it began to be legalized. صح? Let me ask you guys a question. Is it morally correct to smoke weed? You see, there's, as you can see, there's a level of unsurety in the crowd. Is it okay, guys? Anyone want to object? If it's for medical purposes. Who's saying that? It's medication. No lie, doctors, I'm not a doctor, guys, but generally speaking, if I just want to start smoking weed, morally acceptable, morally unacceptable, that discussion still stands. But once upon a time, it was illegal in just about every single American state. But then it started being normalized and popularized and so on and so forth. Who determines for us, my brothers and my sisters, what is morally acceptable and what is morally unacceptable? Allah. You know, when I speak to Mark and then Suzanne says that Mark, the atheist, is actually wrong, I am the atheist that's actually right. What causes her argument or her claims to be, right, more correct than Mark? There will be constant discussions and debates. I mentioned this story yesterday, and I'll share it to you guys as well, because I don't think a lot of you guys came. Put your hand there, you came to the program yesterday. That's not a lot. SubhanAllah, we had 1,500 yesterday. Shows there's a lot of Muslims in Edmonton. MashaAllah. I went to Australia approximately a year ago, guys. And on my way there, there was a stopover in New Delhi, India. One of the worst airports I've been to, right? So as I was waiting, I ran into a brother, a guy called, we'll call him Mark, non-Muslim guy. And we began to speak. I said, Mark, why are you going to Australia by yourself? I know why I'm going to Australia, because I need to go brainwash them, right? Why are you going all the way there, 20 hours? He goes, oh, I was meant to be going with my girlfriend. Like, what happened? Abu Taymiyyah is getting very nosy here, right? Trying to find out exactly what's happened. He goes, we broke up. Like, why did you break up?
He said, I caught her having conversations with the opposite gender behind my back by text message. Anything else? She would go outside wearing revealing clothes. So me being a devil's advocate, I said, what's the problem? Right? Live and let be, right? Why are you being so controlling, Mark? Let her do as she wishes. He goes, no, I don't feel comfortable with it. I said to him, how does she react to you refusing to have her go out like this? She goes, it didn't go down nicely. She thought I was a bit too controlling. I was taking away her freedom. I said, if you married a Muslim lady, you wouldn't have this problem. It's not even something that you would need to think about. If she's someone that's adhering to the religion. And he's looking at me like that. He's looking at me like that. Oh, wow. Right? The point of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, and you see this subhanAllah taking place in so many marriages. Sometimes I go to arbitrate between husband and wife. The husband says, I don't like the way she dresses outside. He's got a problem with it. Right? She says about him, I don't like the fact that he speaks to women. I ask him, what are you doing? He goes, oh, they're just friends. We're colleagues. Why is she being so pushy and so jealous? Ah. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجِدُ فِي اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرٌ. Anything that comes from other than Allah to structure your life, you're going to find a lot of problems. Chaos, just as we are seeing here. I told Mark, she left you, right? You're going to go into another relationship. The exact same thing is going to happen. And she's going to leave you. And another relationship, you're just going to keep on clashing because it's your view against her view. This is why we are left with no option except to accept an external entity, which is the Allah, the Almighty, who governs us with rules and regulations, teaching us how to live our lives, my brothers and my sisters. Does that make sense? Otherwise, there will be constant chaos, which we are seeing unfolding right before our eyes. Putin sees it to be perfectly moral to kill Ukraine. Ukraine and the West, they think that this is wrong. Right? Putin actually thinks that he's doing a great job. By the way, I'm not endorsing anything that's taking place. Huh? I'm just telling you guys. Everyone's looking at things differently. We are in need of an external entity that is divine, that is Allah's teachings in how to structure our lives. Otherwise, there'll be constant problems. The problems that we're seeing right now. To touch on the issue of liberalism, and then inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to speak a little bit about Simone de Beauvoir and Betty Friedan. Have you guys heard of them? Put your hand up if you heard of Simone de Beauvoir and Betty Friedan. Got someone there? Another, two, three. You guys as well. You guys heard of Betty Friedan? What did you guys study here? Huh? Taib. Let's look at this issue of liberalism, because this is a way of life, right? This is a way of life, and I'm going to show you guys the contradiction. Liberalism, live and let be, do as you wish, freedom. You tell someone, don't do this, you know, أخي إيش دخلك أنت? What are you getting involved for? Let them live their lives as they wish. Your sister might go outside with a certain type of clothing that is revealing, and you as a brother think, أخي, don't do this. And then someone else says, Akhi, why you get involved? Live and let be. Let them do as they wish. Right? And then you ask this individual now who has contested your right of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. You say to him, Taib, you've got an issue with me telling her to cover her hair. Taib. Why doesn't now she also takes off her clothes? Would that be okay? If you have a problem now with me saying, put something over your head, right? To what extent? To what extent? Would you have a problem of her taking off now her abaya? And then take off another, and another, and another? Let me ask you guys a question. Is it legal for a woman to walk outside naked? Is it legal? Is it legal? Completely naked. Forget about completely naked. She's wearing what? That which she would wear normally when she goes swimming. Is she allowed to do that? So I was walking around on the streets of Edmonton, downtown. Is it okay, guys? No, but why though? What is the issue? Right? Live and let be. Let them do as they wish. Right? And then you have democracy on the other side. If we have a vote of 51-49, you are taking away the freedom and the right of what the other 49 want. And it just doesn't seem to go hand in hand with one another. You ask them, right? Live and let be. So if I come and harm you, is there an issue with it? What's your name? Mahmoud. Mahmoud, I'm going to come and I'm going to whack you across the head. Why not? Live and let be. Let me do as I wish. One has the freedoms to go and do as they wish. So you ask them, is it unrestricted? They'll say, no, there's got to be like a parameter. There has to be what? Boundaries. Otherwise, there'll be problematic. Who puts down these boundaries? And what is considered harmful? This is when the different uqul, the different intellects, are placed against one another. He sees this, she sees that. Who do we go with? It is problematic and contradictory. Then you come, my brothers and my sisters, to feminism. Feminism, in a nutshell, my brothers and my sisters, it stands on two pillars. Does anyone know what the two pillars are? Huh? By the way, first wave feminists, they had some reasonable, right, arguments. They wanted education and so on and so forth. Islam is not against that. Our discussion is about second wave feminism. What is the two pillars that it actually stands on? Does anyone know? Ahsant. Calling for the structure of society to be changed in order for men and women to be equal. Ahsant. What's the second one? Huh? Huh? Reproductive rights. I think I'll say that it comes under it, but tell me if you disagree with me on this, right? Showing opposition to the traditional role that a female has had throughout history. Can we say there's maybe a second pillar as strong as the first? And what you mentioned will also come under concept of feminism. She agrees with me. Huh? To an extent. Santi. My brothers and my sisters, these are the two pillars, right? These are the two pillars. If you want to go into more specifics, my brothers and my sisters, promotes 50-50 male/female quotas for all elected and appointed offices and occupations, ignores marriage and is hostile to the family unit, demands recognition of sexual and reproductive rights, including the acceptance of homosexual lifestyles and right to abortion on demand, offers no protection to housewives or full-time mothers, discourages the choice to care for one's own children, targets, and I put this in quotation marks, fundamentalists, right? I call them fundamentalists, religions as a barrier to women's rights and demands that religion to be reinterpreted. You see how problematic it is in light of Islam. Calls for religion to be reinterpreted. Blames the problems of women on make, power, and control. There's a lot that can be said, my brothers and my sisters, but let me share with you guys this conversation that happened between Betty Friedan and Simone de Beauvoir. The two founding mothers of feminism. You got one in France and you got the other in America. So far, anyone want to disagree with what I said? Simone de Beauvoir, Betty Friedan, would you agree that they are founding mothers of feminism? Huh? Come on. Huh? But you could see that they were those who inspired and enlightened and sahih? Nah. Betty Friedan was interviewing Simone de Beauvoir. And she posed the question, do you think women should be given the choice now to be housewives? Look at this answer of Simone de Beauvoir. Her response was, no, We don't believe that any woman should have this choice. No woman should be authorized to stay at home to raise her children. Society should be totally different. Women should not have that choice precisely because, and here's the key here, because if there is such a choice, too many women will end up taking that choice. I'm quoting. Abu Taymiyyah doesn't have his own views and opinions. To even get a little bit more specific, my brothers and my sisters, I like this one. Have you guys heard of the Daily Mail? Wow. Is that here in Canada as well? Huh? Daily Mail is one of the worst news outlets that you can find. Daily Mail, my brothers and my sisters, is like maybe the Washington Post. I don't know what you guys have it in Canada. But one of the most mainstream. This poll, my brothers and my sisters, of 1,582 women aged 25 and over, all whom were in a relationship and in full-time employment. 62% admitted they secretly wished to be a housewife rather than have a career. We're not done. This Daily Mail article, guys, it titled, "Did the Feminists Burn Their Bras for Nothing?" Majority of British women would pick being a housewife over having a career. And then the stats I mentioned, 62% admitted they secretly wished to be a housewife. 74% they felt pressure from other women to be independent. 78%, they wouldn't mind being financially dependent on their partner. I'm not done yet, guys. Simone de Beauvoir, she has a book called Second Sex. And other pieces of work that she's put forth. Just look at the kind of rhetoric she uses when referring to her superior, Satre. Satre, guys, huh? Her superior. You're probably thinking to yourself, what? This is a woman who wages war against the traditional, right? Role of a woman. Her being a housewife, her being at home, right? And being a mother and so on and so forth. But then look how she speaks. So now she's preparing her new independent home in Paris and waiting for the return of Satre from Paris. Does it sound like an independent woman or a housewife? New furniture is brought, the walls prepared, and new clothes have been purchased. Sounds like a woman that a lot of you guys would be interested in. Satre hated family life and persuaded her to write the book. He called her a mere housewife. She says about herself, and I quote, "I was furious with myself to have disappointed him in this way." Does that really sound like an independent woman? And she's the one, right, that destroyed so many households because she wanted to inspire women, right? And then you ask yourself the question, my brothers and my sisters, was intellectual second wave feminism really created by a man? I'm not done, guys. She says this about Satre. He was indeed a true superior. She says, "I felt dominated by someone else intellectually. Satre lived up to the man that I had dreamt of or dreamt up at, right? I was simply not in his class. Oh, I detest my own reflection if at least my thought had given birth to a hill, a rocket, but no, nothing has taken place. I am astonished to realize how thoroughly I have been cheated." وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. That's one of the founding mothers, one of the women who empowered, enlightened. And this is what she's saying, my brothers and my sisters. Actions speak louder than words, huh? Point number five was what? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not reflect upon the Qur'an? Had it come from anyone other than Allah, you would find contradictions, discrepancies, holes in the narrative which we find, my brothers and my sisters. Read the Quran and you will find your answers. Stop relying on your intellect to do the job for you. My brothers and my sisters, can anyone hear that which is taking place in the car park? Anyone here that has that superpower? Anyone? So you've accepted that your ears are limited. You can't see that which is taking place. Your eyes are limited. Can anyone smell that which is happening outside? Or which is being cooked outside? There's nothing happening outside that can be smelt. Right? Can anyone smell it? No. You have accepted now that some of these body parts are limited. Why do you fail to understand that your intellect is limited as well? Are you brothers and sisters with me? No matter how smart and intellectual and intelligent you think you are, there is still what? A deficiency that you carry. And you'll never be able to encompass everything. This is why, my brothers and my sisters, we are in need of an external entity that is above everything. Right? That teaches us how to structure our lives. Allah, who knew, or who knows, should I say, right? What is best for those that He created. Just like if you were to now invent a new phone, you would know the most about it. Allah has created us, He has created mankind, right? He knows us so perfectly, so greatly, right? So just take from the one who invented, the one who created. Well done, my brothers and my sisters. I've gone well over the time. I was only meant to be here for 45 minutes. I think it went over by another 45. Right? Honestly, it was so wonderful to have you guys here. It's been an absolute pleasure. By the way, clapping should only be for women, huh? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tasfihu lil nisaa, clapping is only for women, right? My brothers and my sisters, honestly, I say this from the bottom of my heart. I love you all for the sake of Allah, honestly. The fact that you all came here, it really shows that there's goodness in your heart. Let me ask you guys a question. Is this on camera? Have you switched it off? Don't switch it off. Right? Have I incited violence? No. Say louder.
No.
Have I incited hatred?
No.
Have I just quoted?
Yes.
Abu Taymiyyah doesn't have his own views and opinions. I just come and I quote Simone de Beauvoir and Betty Friedan and I leave. That's what I do. Right? I'm just here, my brothers and my sisters, to enlighten you all of what Allah Azza wa Jalla's Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Right? And then that's when I leave. The fact that you came, honestly guys, it shows that there's goodness in your heart. Every single one of you. And I know you are at different stages of your pursue in your journey. I ask Allah to make you the best of the Muslims. Ameen. And if you're not a Muslim, that Allah guides you to that which is correct. Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Honestly, been a pleasure. I'll see you guys in Masjid Rashid. We will do a lecture. We will do a lecture on the interaction that Yusuf had with the wife of Al-Aziz when she went crazy over him. Huh? Inshallah ta'ala, when she tried to seduce him, we're going to take benefits from that part. We'll speak about it over there, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Wa ahsanullah ilaykum.